Hello, this is Jamie.
Honey, I'm Hello? Just waiting for him to pick up.
Okay. I thought I was late.
No. He hasn't picked up yet. Did you get a new number to call?
Yes. Yes. That took me a couple of extra minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
He's probably finishing lunch.
I don't know. He usually comes quickly, so.
Oh, yeah, he'll be here in a minute.
Ruby.
Hello, Ruby. This is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Connie,
how are you?
Yeah.
I'm
good.
Well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Our weather finally broke. I've been cooped up in the house for almost 2 weeks.
Ah.
Good thing I work from home. Go ahead.
We have 30 inches of snow.
You must be on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, Southwest Virginia, but, you know, we are south. Didn't really expect it.
I'm in Tennessee, and we just had some extremely cold. I mean, we get ice, but this was just extremely cold.
Right.
So I'm ready to get out Monday. I kind of live on a hill, so it's cold to school for almost 7 days. Yeah, 7 days.
Oh,
and I work from home. I have my laptop. I'm like, I'm glad that I do because I couldn't get out. I mean, we went out once to do grocery shopping, and that was it.
Did you get cabin fever?
Oh my God, I'm so ready to get out of here.
Uh-huh.
You can't believe I am suffering from it. But I know we've had like 30 weather-related deaths. You know, they had some older people that had gone out and gotten disoriented, got out of their car. One lady was lucky, but then she was frozen to the ground. So it's been kind of, it's been bad.
Huh.
So I'm glad this back over.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm ready to get out. Monday, I'm going to hit the ground running.
Well,
so I hope that this is the last, you know, cold front.
Yeah, I'm a bit.
We'll have,
I'm a bit over it.
Are you having trouble back there?
No.
Are you having a lot of weather?
Yes, but it's all good.
So good. How cold is it back there?
Right now, it's a heat wave. It's 40 degrees.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said Monday morning I'll hit the ground running. 40 degrees does seem like a heat wave. That's where we are here.
Monday's going to be 40 degrees?
Yeah, the high will, yeah. Yes.
That's a heat wave.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. anybody got another phone that they could call Hanok's number on and just see if everything's okay?
Yeah,
I only have this one phone.
Mm-hmm. I have another one. Has anyone made the call?
I think, no, nobody has called.
Okay. Okay. I did get notice of a new, when I called, to get a new conference call number. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. But we need to call his other phone number, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me get the other phone number out and get another phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry for my delay.
Okay.
No worries.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna
Bekoach.
Kufre Shayan Simtetun. The letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf that created the constellation.
On the phone.
Pisces, the Dagun, the fishes.
I don't know.
And the Bet that created the, the Gimel that created the planet.
Hanok, I'm not sure everybody can hear you.
Everything is all right, and we'll wait another couple of minutes. Thank you. Love you. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay, I just made the call on your other phone and left a message on it.
Jasmine,
hi. Nun Gimel
Dalet.
The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated. And then the part of the body can be brought back into the body, where it will again do its job as it was created to do, recreated to do. I need to change the controls. Barchem tacharem, rachamei sitkarcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh, tzaditav gimel. Chasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, nael adatach, het kuf bet. Tet Nunayan. Yachid Gee Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pe Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatiakatenu Yodea Talumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. Now we're going to read the four verses from the Tanakh that we read. The first verse connects us to the energy of the previous year, 5774. We say this verse so as not to fall back, not to slide back, not to lose what we have gained, which is the ceasefire in the southern border. And yet we also say it so that we can keep changing, keep moving forward, and cause a full peace treaty in all of the borders. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael. Untati vishan, kakta velo yirgaz, od velo yosifu, v'nei avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. And the three verses that connect us to the energy of this year, 5775, the year that has the potential, if we change, sufficient a number of us change, has the potential to give us the certainty to realize that the angel of death is an illusion, that no one needs to die any longer. And to be able to see that truth in its manifested form from this point forward. The first verse is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam asher yidkabe sham mushavtem elai el nachon. Behalachti idchem, v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, oto bechol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach, yovedoro. And the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, we say in a whisper. We're now going to read from the Zohar. And please give me a second to get to the Zohar and from the parasha of Ki Tisa. We're reading from section 4, which is titled The Lip of Truth Will Be Established Forever. We're reading from Pasuk 10. L'shem yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bit kilu ur kimu ud kilu liakta shem yudke bovavke b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Patach idach ve'amar shefat emet tichon la'ad ve'ad argia l'shon shaker tachatzi ilu kol b'nei alma hawo palchin lishkira hawa haki. Aval ha'nechora b'zachara nedachir v'day kishot ihu kochve mruma dirkia kishot inun ibetiv shu v'chesrona dedata dilchon inun amre vikaran lehu elaha labae kudshabarichu l'sheitza'a ovado ma'alma aval l'zimna deate la yishtetzun kochavaya unchorin dialma avalman yishtetze inun defalchu lon. The translation: the other opened the discussion and said, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Come and see, if all the inhabitants of the world always worshipped falsehood, then it would be so, they would cease to exist. But this light and radiation that shines from the sun is certainly true. And the stars that are in the heights of the firmament are also true. And if in their foolishness and lack of understanding they say and call them Elohim, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not have to destroy His creations from the world because of this. And also in the time to come, the stars and luminaries will not perish from the universe. But who will perish? Those that worship them will perish." My commentary: as a student of Kabbalah, is this pasuk talking about the internal or the external aspects of the sun? The internal or the external aspects of the stars? The souls of human beings, when corrected, receive worlds to govern as the souls of the stars. This is one of the prophecies written in the Tanakh. This is what the spiritual teachings indicate. As we know, those who worship false gods will die and disappear. Yet this applies to their bodies, since the souls will change through reincarnation and eventually come to know the truth. Are you searching for the truth, or what fits your expectation of your consciousness? When you answer this question properly, you can reach the level of removing death forever. Does anybody have any questions? in order to ask questions, you'll need to what is it you will need to do? You will need to press star 6. So if you have a question, please do that. So then I'll be able to hear you. This afternoon's class can be found on any yeshem.com website, webpage. On the right side of the page, underneath the two pictures, you will see a link that says Unique Astrological Times. Open that link and then scroll down to where it says Rosh Chodesh Adar. And there's a link there that says Preparation for the Holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. Open up that link. And you will see a number of beneficial classes. We're going to be working on class number 2. But before we do that, I want to point out to all of you that a meditation for an easy fast is a link that appears on this page. Wednesday, during the day, from sunrise to after the reading of the Megillah Esther, is called the Fast of Esther. It's a daylight fast. And we will talk about it during this class. But if the night before, the last thing you have before you go to sleep on Tuesday night is a glass of water, prior to drinking that water and not really drinking it, but performing a ritual with it, which includes 9 sips of water, take a look at the link. It does work. It makes fasting easier. Our class, being the second class, opens up to where it says the holiday of Purim. And that's what this class is about, preparing us for the holiday of Purim. One aspect of the holiday of Purim is reversal. You're going in one direction and you turn around and go in the other direction. Sometimes the reversal is the full 180 degrees, where you turn around and go in the opposite direction. And sometimes it's just making a right turn or a left turn, or maybe just a little bit of a off the straight path that you were on. But that's what reversal looks like. And Purim is a holiday, is an energy of reversal. But what is it reversing? It's reversing your fear about the future. It's reversing your attitude about chance, about Hashem is concealed from us, so that things look like being coincidentally, not really tied together, not really a pattern. And then we reverse ourselves and realize there is a pattern. And that pattern is Hashem acting from his concealment, where we can't see him directly like we used to. We saw his miracles. We spoke to him in the tent of meeting. We heard him on Mount Sinai. And these are things that didn't happen to other people. They happened to each one of us. We don't remember them. And that's part of the reversal, because we need to remember them. We need to pierce the veil of the illusion to see Hashem. And that's what the Scroll of Esther is about, as we will come to discover. When things look like they are going to go one way, and then they are reversed by the circumstances, this is a reversal. It happens many times in football games and in basketball games. One team is scoring, winning. One team's marching down the field. It's the final minutes of the game. And it looks like they're going to score the winning touchdown when the star half falls. How did that happen? The ball gets picked up by the defense, who races back upfield and scores a touchdown that clinches the game. Reversal. How does reversal look in your life? In the scenario I just described, did you see Hashem's hand? Did you see Hashem sending his angel down to grab the ball out of the halfback's hand? Sometimes you're able to see that, except we call the angel the opposing player. Do you see Hashem sending you an angel in your life, in all aspects of your life? Somebody said something to you, a sentence, a phrase, a word, and it penetrates, it resonates. Oh my God, I never realized. Don't we always say that? Or at least not always, don't we often say that? I never realized that my spouse is an angel. How can he be an angel? He's a human being. One of the five signs that the Ari teaches us is an indication of soulmates. And this is a funny story, funny sign. It's painful to the people involved. One of the five signs is that when a couple is getting married, they've fallen in love in our society. They have an arranged marriage in another society. They're about to get married. They're about to embark on their life together. And their family members speak badly about their intended. The family members is very upset that they're even thinking about going with this person, wife or male or female, whichever side it's coming from, or both sides. The family members, the people that they trust, the people that are close to them, these people are telling them, don't marry this person. These people are raising their doubts about their marriage. And everyone fears getting married. Not fears getting married, but fears getting married to that person. Will it last forever? That's the fear. Will I be married my whole life? That's the fear. And Hashem sends your angels, your family members, to raise those doubts in your mind so that you have the opportunity to declare certainty. Yes, I want to marry this person. I don't care what you say. You may be right, but I don't see it. Every person that comes into your life is potentially an angel or a devil, a tool of the other side or a tool of Hashem. That's what an angel is. What is the purpose of this angel, this devil? Your reversal. The devil doesn't come unless there was a decree, there was a judgment up above that he could come, that you needed this test. The angel doesn't come unless Hashem sends them. Reversal is about
It's an octave. Hello. What happened?
I don't know.
Okay. He should be coming back anytime.
Are you still there?
I'm here.
I'm still here, too. This is Ruby.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jess.
I'm going to go ahead and mute my phone back and just wait.
Is everybody still on?
I'm here.
I'm still on. This is Ruby.
Hi, Ruby. This is Bernice in California.
Hi, Bernice. I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee. Wow.
Yeah.
How are things back there?
Oh, it's been extremely cold, horrible weather. We were kind of giggling before. We're having a heat wave now. It's 40 degrees. I've been stuck in the house for 2 weeks,
wow.
Just about. So I told them, forgot who I was talking to, but I can't wait to hit the ground running on Monday.
How do you even get out to the market?
Huh?
How do you get out to the market?
I went out one time because I live on a back street, now about 300 yards away from my main road. So we went out one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing I can work from home with my job. I have a laptop, so that helped. But we went out like one time. The ice is just horrible.
Mm. How do you drive in that?
You know, you don't. We were under state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you didn't drive. I mean, you just didn't. If you didn't have to be out, you shouldn't have been out.
Mm. Well, hopefully you carry enough food in the house to get by a week or two while I was out.
Yeah.
Your power's okay? Everything's okay that way, right?
Power's okay, but we had some people, because, you know, we do get ice. We don't get a lot of snow. But we had, like, roofs collapsed because of the accumulation of ice on roofs.
Mm.
So it's been really bad. It's been really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. I see in the Northeast they have they're shoveling it out, trying to dump it in the rivers or so much.
Yeah, they really, they not only do they have the ice, but they have the snow as well. We just had mostly the heavy, heavy ice, which to me is a lot more treacherous than the snow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
So are we the only two on right now?
I'm here, Jasmine.
Okay.
Jasmine, where are you from?
Florida.
Florida?
I'm in the state of Florida. I'm in Hollywood, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
80 degrees today.
I'm jealous.
Everybody is.
California's nice, not too bad.
Not too bad either.
We had a very gentle rain last night, and it's very beautiful this morning. It's a little bit of a breeze, and it's maybe about 60, 55.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I was in California last week from Tuesday to Thursday in Los Angeles. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A noise, but I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's me digging around in my closet.
Oh. Somebody working the controls.
Yeah.
I'm multitasking today.
Hope everything's all right there. I don't understand.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
He's in Georgia, right?
Now? Hanok's in Georgia?
Who's in Georgia?
Yes.
Hanok.
Hanok is
in Georgia. I think he's near Atlanta somewhere.
Yeah, they've had some really bad weather, too.
They did?
Yeah.
When is it snow?
I think they probably got snow and ice like we did. Georgia typically does not get a lot of cold weather.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's pretty nasty.
Mm.
I'm 5 hours from Atlanta.
You're 5 hours from Atlanta? Tennessee?
Uh-huh. Atlanta's in Georgia.
I know, but you're in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville.
It's not a lot of hours going from one state to the other there.
Okay, this is Jamie. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Jamie.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I live, I'm in Southwest Virginia now. But I lived in North Georgia, north of Atlanta in the mountains for about 25 years. And believe me, we got snow.
We got snow.
Well, every year, quite a lot. So to say that Georgia doesn't get a lot of snow is really not factual.
Well, not Atlanta, not that part of Georgia. I was speaking in particular of Atlanta.
Well, I lived in Atlanta too for 7 years, and we got snow. It's just It's just this, but this year has been more.
Meanwhile, Alaska needs some snow and ice.
Yes.
Alaska needs to refreeze. I don't know. I read an article years ago said something about growing peaches in Alaska, and I thought, wow.
Okay.
Growing peaches in Alaska. So what's going to happen to the states that grow peaches now? Maybe we need to move to Alaska in order to enjoy the climate and the rest of the world. Like, get Alaska sweater. Who knows? I don't know how they decided that. This was maybe 20 or 30 years ago that I read that article.
Think Hanok is coming back?
I don't know. It's about 28:22 after 11 over here in California. So the hour is almost up. It's 10:30. But I don't know whether we should hold on or what. It's not like him to be off this long.
Should we call him and find out what's going on?
Well, I made the one call before. Should I do it again?
Yeah, see if everything's okay.
Okay. All right, hold on.
Thank you.
Hi, Hanok. Thanks again. Trying to find out if everything's okay and whether we should continue to hold or wait for another time. Love you.
I'm back.
Hello.
Hi. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Are you back?
I am back.
All right, Baruch Hashem.
So as you can see, I'm not reading directly from this handout today. I'm giving you a different perspective on the scroll, on the holiday. It's all about energy. And we're almost out of time, but I kind of want to scroll down on the handout to something that it's up to you to decide whether what is here, what is in the scroll of Esther and what is in your life is really where Hashem is hiding. It's about 1 inch or 1.5 inch from the bottom. I'm back again. Sorry about
Hello.
That. About 1 inch to 1.5 inches from the bottom of the page. You will see in bold it says chapter 8 and 9. And it's describing those chapters in the Megillah. And I'm going to read this section. It's the only section I'm really going to read. I strongly suggest that you read the rest of this handout as your preparation for the holiday. In the listing of the names of the sons of Haman, there are 3 small letters. They are a Tav, a Shin, and a Zayin. Just as our year is named Tav Shin Ayin Hey, for 5775, Tav Shin Zayin is 5707. That was the year 1946, 5707 in the Hebrew calendar. The word of Tav Shin Zayin translates as the week 7. Kabbalistically, this refers to the negative Sefirot, or it might refer to a weak generation of Jewish souls. In that year, 10 Nazis were convicted of crimes against humanity and were ordered to be killed. Actually, 11 were convicted, and they were to be hanged just like the sons of Haman. There were 216 court sessions that convicted them. 216 is the number of letters in the 72 names of God. Of course, this is coincidence, isn't it? Of course, there's God isn't in 216. They could have just as easily had 217, couldn't they? Or 215. So why were there 216? Do you think the human beings planned that? The military tribunal at Nuremberg delivered its verdict, sentencing the leaders of the Nazi Party to death by hanging. The author of the following account, Kingsbury Smith, of the International News Service, was chosen by lot to represent the American press at the execution of 11 of these leaders. Due to one German committing suicide the night before, he was only able to witness 10. He filed this news story. Julius Streicher made his melodramatic appearance at 2:12 a.m. While his manacles were being removed and his bare hands bound, this ugly, dwarfish little man, wearing a threadbare suit and a well-worn bluish shirt buttoned to the neck, but without a tie. He was notorious during his days of power for his flashy dress, glanced at the three wooden scaffolds rising menacingly in front of him. Then he glanced around the room, his eyes resting momentarily upon the small group of witnesses. By this time, his hands were tied securely behind his back. Two guards, one on each arm, directed him to the number one gallows on the left of the entrance. He walked steadily the 6 feet to the first wooden step, but his face was twitching. As the guard stopped him at the bottom of the steps for identification, formality, he uttered his piercing scream, "Heil Hitler!" The shriek sent a shiver down my back, meaning the writer's back. As its echo died away, an American colonel standing by the steps said sharply, "Ask the man his name." In response to the interpreter's query, Streicher shouted, "You know my name well." The interpreter repeated his request, and the condemned man yelled, "Julius Streicher." As he reached the platform, Streicher cried out, "Now it goes to God." He was pushed the last 2 steps to the mortal spot beneath the hangman's rope. The rope was being held back against a wooden rail by the hangman. Streicher was swung suddenly to face the witnesses, and he glared at them. Suddenly he screamed, "Purimfest, 1946. The writer has to tell us that Purim is a Jewish holiday celebrated in the spring, commemorating the execution of Haman, ancient persecutor of the Jews, described in the Old Testament. Sorry for the interruption. I just needed to fix the controls again so that the static was kept to a minimum. Streicher had been a Nazi since early in the movement's history. He was the editor and publisher of the anti-Semitic newspaper Das Strummer. In May of 1924, Stryker wrote and published an article on Purim titled Das Purim Fest, the Festival of Purim. In order to publish his vitriolic attack, Stryker must have had a good ideal of knowledge about Jewish thought and practice. However, we can only speculate as to what extent he was aware of the remarkable parallels between Haman and his own execution. However, they are indeed striking. And the king said to Esther the queen, "The Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the capital, and the 10 sons of Haman. Now, whatever your petition, it shall be granted. Whatever your request further, it shall be done." Then said Esther, "If it please the king, let it be granted those that are in Shushan to do tomorrow also as was done this day. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows." But they're already dead. They've already been hung. The king just said so. If Haman's 10 sons had already been killed, why would she want them hanged again? How could they be hanged? Our sages comment on the word tomorrow in Esther's request. There is a tomorrow that is now and a tomorrow which is later. In the Megillah, the names of Haman's 10 sons are written very large and in two columns. This is in distinct contrast to the style of the rest of the Megillah. The left-hand column contains the word ve'et, which means and. 10 times, according to our sages, the word ve'et is used to denote replication. Ve'et is spelled vav, aleph, taf. Ve'et represents the unity of male and female. The vav is the male, zera. The letters Aleph to Taf is the Shekhinah, is Malchut. The inference is that another 10 people were hanged in addition to Haman's 10 sons. And if we examine the list of Haman's sons, there are 3 letters that are written smaller than the other letters. There is the Tav in the name Parshandata, the Shin of Parmashta, and the Zion of Vizata. Those 3 letters together form Tav Shin Zion, the Jewish year, 5707, which corresponds to the secular year, 1946. The year that those 10 Nazi criminals were executed. The Nuremberg trials were a military tribunal, and thus the method of execution usually was done by firing squad. The court, however, prescribed hanging. Esther's request, "Let Haman's 10 sons be hanged," echoes down the ages. Equally uncanny is that the date of the execution, October 16, 1946, fell on Hoshana Rabbah, the final holiday of the Rosh Hashanah series, the day on which God seals the verdicts of Rosh Hashanah for the coming year. As the Megillah recounts, a decree that the king has sealed cannot be rescinded. And thus Ahasuerus had to promulgate a second decree to allow the Jewish people to defend themselves. In other words, the first decree was never nullified. Our sages teach us that eventually the Jewish people will return to God, either voluntarily or, if not, God will raise up a despot whose decrees will be as severe as Haman's. I'm not going to go into what my commentary was. I'm not going to explain this eerie coincidence to you. It's clear from the writing what took place. When will we as human beings see history as the concealment of Hashem that it is meant to be? Why does God conceal himself from us? The metaphor that the sages give us in the Talmud and in the Zohar is that of a parent who's teaching his child to walk, and the child falls, and the parent picks the child up, puts him back on his feet, and holds him a little bit as he takes another few steps, and then he lets go, giving the child a chance to walk on his own. And sometimes he falls again, and sometimes he doesn't. But so when he does fall, the father picks him up. And the child is constantly looking back at the parent to make sure he's there, to make sure he's watching, to make sure he's being supported. And the father is always there. And then there comes a time when the parent leaves the room, hides behind the door, going to another room. Why does he do that? Why do we as parents not do everything for our children? Why do we teach them to do for themselves, and when they're ready, we send them on their way to be themselves, to learn for themselves? That is the explanation the sages give us for why God conceals himself. But for me, it's a different level. I accept my responsibility. I am the cause of God concealing himself. In all of my previous lifetimes, I did things that caused God to say, enough. You know better. Stop doing these things. I'll be here. I'm going to conceal myself so that you will learn to do things yourself, so that you will earn my blessing because you searched for me and see me in my concealment of history. That's my opinion. Are there any questions?
Hanak, I have a question. This is Ruby.
Go ahead.
I know you said we don't have time right now, but when you speak about the modern-day group like Haman, could that be ISIS?
Are you afraid of ISIS?
Yes and no.
The world works on spiritual laws. The physical world works on spiritual laws. We do not see how spiritual laws apply. But here is a spiritual law for you to understand. Not just you, Ruby, everyone. No one dies in this world unless they have been decreed and their appeal has been denied, so to speak. No one leaves this world through death unless it's time for them to leave, unless it's been decreed in the spiritual courts for them to leave. So we have seen or heard about, because I haven't seen any of the videos, we've heard about horrific videos.
I have.
Detailing people who were beheaded. And we all think in terms of that's a barbaric action. We don't have one of that type of death in the Torah. We have four deaths in the Torah. We have stoning. We have hanging. We have sword thrusts. And we have fire. No one dies in the spiritual world, in the physical world, unless it's been decreed that it's time for them to leave. So why is somebody afraid? If they're killed in this way, if they're afraid of terror of dying in the bombing, a suicide bomber or whatever, look for Hashem. Hashem is the one who sends the Satan to take people and kill them. He doesn't do it flippantly. He does it for a purpose. He does it because of their own actions. There's nothing to fear in this world, except, as Winston Churchill said, fear itself. Look for God in your life, and you'll know that there's no way, there's nothing to be concerned about. You ask the question, is ISIS the 10 sons of Haman? There are all kinds of statements on the internet. The majority of them are false. Maybe what I teach is false. That's something you have to decide for yourself. Maybe what's on the internet is false. Maybe what's coming out of the newsrooms today is false. This is what you as an adult human being has to decide for yourself. If it is God's plan, as the negative prophecies describe, that there will be an Armageddon war, God forbid, then that's part of God's plan. It does not have to happen. No negative prophecy has to happen. You are in control of changing it. You and no one else. You and everyone else. I don't want to burden you with your responsibility. I'm doing the work that I was put here to do. How do I know that? Because of my intuition. I can't answer, you know, Ruby, you and I have talked, and I have talked to most of the people on this call.
Yeah.
You all have a job to do. You all were put in this position, in this physical world, at this physical time, to look for God in your life. All you have to do is look for him. He'll find you when you start to search. In my opinion, at least for me, these speculations about how the Armageddon war is going to take place, my speculation is it's not going to take place. I see the hand of God behind all of these movements, all of this galvanizing. Are they the sons of Haman? What was the purpose of the sons of Haman? Sons of Haman is a code word for the energy of doubt, of Persophic. That's why they're in the story of Purim. Everything in the story of Purim is for us to see how doubts enter our life. The holiday of Purim, the events of those 14 years in history, was an Armageddon war for 2 days long. The events of history called very simply for the elimination of doubts and the connection to the energy of certainty. And this is how you reverse your own fortune. By being certain that your work is the right work you're supposed to do. By being certain that what you did today was the right thing. It's very difficult. I honestly cannot tell you that every day I've done the right thing. I can't even make that statement for the last hour as I'm talking. Should I have read more? Should I have said different things? Those are doubts. Do I let them into my life? Only to learn from. Only to connect to certainty. This world is a world of a mixture called good and evil. It's the tree of knowledge, Tov V'ra. Tov means good, Ra means evil. Do you know what evil is? It's uncorrected good. We learn that from the book, You Are Who You Hate, from the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Thank God Hashem sends us these sages for us to learn from. Unfortunately, not enough of us learn it fast enough. Unfortunately, I don't learn it fast enough. If you can make a statement that describes someone else as being one and wrong, you have to remember to bring it back to yourself. It's not ISIS that's evil, it's me who created them. Where did I create ISIS? I haven't been to the Middle East since 1981 or 82. I went to Israel once for 3 weeks, that was it. I go there every day spiritually. But that's a different frame of reference. Who created ISIS? You and I did. How?
Our behavior.
Because the term in our behavior, we radicalized them. We didn't teach them right, good and bad, good and evil, right from wrong. We treated them as something less than human. You think the slavery doesn't exist in this world? It still goes on, as all of these arguments, you know, these titillating stories in the newspapers and news and internet. Where do you think the porn movies are being made from and the sex trafficking, et cetera, et cetera? Man operates by saying, I'm right and you're wrong. And it's only the Torah that says, you're right and they're right, and learn to love the stranger. Learn to love the person that's different than you. Learn to love your neighbor as yourself.
that's sometimes difficult to do.
What is God saying that these words? It's always difficult to do. So what? You want eternal peace? You have to do difficult things. You have to grow up to be an adult instead of the children we still are. God never said it was easy. It's always easy to describe. It's never easy to do. And yes, we fall down, and we forget to do what I've just said, to point to ourselves instead of away from ourselves. We create the world we're in. I was born into a world that was at war. It was 1947 for my year of birth. The world was at war. I was born on the Saturday morning that the United Nations in New York City, 3 hours late, exactly at the moment I was born, was voting on whether to partition Israel into a dual state condition, Palestine and Israel. What happened? According to the teachings that I got, which is always not always suspect, because it was looking at it from the one point of view, according to the teachings I got, the Arabs said no. And we set up the condition of the Palestinians' suicide bombers. Who's at fault for that? I am. And I was just a kid. Because I didn't do it right in my previous lifetime. Or the lifetime before that. I was not a good person. I was an evil person, an uncorrected good person. And that's how you have to look at yourself. Not to beat yourself up. Not to become depressed at how horrible a human being you are. But to strive to do better this time. Do I think ISIS is the sons of Haman? No. I think ISIS is doing its job. It's supposed to scare people out of being doubtful of God. And it's doing its job. Have I taken too long to answer your question, Ruby?
No, you have not. It was very thorough. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Schedule of classes for this week, tomorrow at 7 p.m., that's Monday at 7 p.m., we will have the second part of the letter Kuf. The double agent is the letter Kuf. He feeds both the negative side and the positive side. The letter Kuf, which has a great deal of connection to doubts. The letter Kuf. That we will also continue our study in preparation for searching for God in the scroll of Esther, for searching for God in our life. Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will be continuing our advanced reincarnation classes. Wednesday, we have the reading of the scroll, which will start at 7 p.m. And then again on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, the second reading, the mitzvah of the Purim calls for hearing the scroll twice. Once for direct light, once for returning light. Once where we get used to the story and once where we start to look for the doubts in our own lives. And then we have Shushan Purim, Thursday night at 7 p.m. is the third reading. Why do we read in it? Because the sages told us, just as we read today, just now, from the scroll, Esther said to King Ahasuerus, may we have the reading again the next day, just like we had today. May we again kill the doubts in our life. May we utilize the concept of a wall. For Shushan Purim, what is the concept of a wall? A wall that encircles the city of Jerusalem. It's the only city left from those days that the wall, that is a walled city. So we read Shushan, we read the scroll a third time for additional energy, for additional ability to see God in the illusion, for removing the doubts, for living our life with certainty. Always know that nobody dies who's not supposed to die, whose time isn't up, who through their own action has lessened their life force energy. And that's why they die. Not because of a heart attack, and not because of cancer, and not because of an accident with a car hitting them, God forbid. All there for us. Always remember that. God is a micromanager. All of us at one time or another have worked for micromanagers. God is a micromanager. He's everywhere in your life, doing everything. He's sending the angel. He's sending the devil. All you have to do is see him in those veils, in those costumes, which is why Purim, people dress up in costumes, to remind us that we're wearing costumes. And next Saturday night at 7 p.m. will be a Zohar class. I wish you all a happy Purim, a Purim Sameach, the joy of Purim, the joy of laughing at ourselves, the joy of not taking ourselves seriously. I wish you all the deep understanding that it is a mitzvah to get drunk, not Wednesday night after the reading, but Thursday afternoon. That's the mitzvah. Thursday afternoon, get drunk. So drunk that you can't see the difference between good and evil. Because they're all children of God. Shalom to all of you.